This podcast episode on business innovation is part of the QED Changemaker series on November 6th, 2020. For this series, we have six industry leaders who will share their personal and varying perspectives on where and how business innovation can play a vital role in future-proofing businesses and organizations. I'm your host, Ryan Lim, Principal Consultant at QED Consulting. Our panelist today is the Managing Director of EcoBusiness and a board member of ComfortDelGro. She's an award-winning journalist, TV presenter, director, producer, and social entrepreneur that has more than a decade of experience in media, journalism, and sustainable development. In 2018, she was announced the winner of the Women of the Future Southeast Asia Awards for the Media and Communications category. She was also named as one of LinkedIn's Power Profile for Singapore. This inspiring leader is also a member of the Singapore Institute of Directors. She currently chairs the Climate Action Singapore Alliance, an initiative supported by the Ministry of Sustainability and the Environment to advocate climate action and raise public awareness on climate issues. Let's welcome Jessica Chum to the QED Changemaker Series podcast. Hi, Jessica. Glad to have you with us today. How have you been?
I'm good. Thank you, Ryan. Really happy to be here this morning with you.
Thank you so much for spending time with us. Could you tell us how far is your organization and your industry evolving your business models for life with COVID-19?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Ryan. Thank you very much. I'm the Managing Director of EcoBusiness, and we are an Asia-Pacific media platform dedicated to sustainable development. And of course, COVID has disrupted life as we know it. And I think it's caused us to re-examine, you know, ourselves on what defines growth and how do you look at businesses. And I think as with every organization, we've had to evolve and we've had to accelerate our digitalization and adapt virtual format. And I have to say, it's also helped us to think very critically about our products and services and what value do we bring to society in a time of COVID-19. And I think the very interesting thing about COVID-19 is that it has really shown, you know, that link between sustainability issues and our human and planetary health. For decades, you know, experts have been warning us that a pandemic was coming. And the pandemic, I like to just spend some time making this clear link here. You know, the pandemic is upon us because of the increasing proximity between wildlife and humans. And I think this is because we have been driving deforestation and we have also been exploiting our natural world at such a rate that it has been unsustainable. And so experts had said that the pandemic was coming, but the world was unprepared. So the question that, you know, we need to prepare for now is, when is the next pandemic? And how are we going to respond to the crises that are coming, things that are looming large at us, things like climate change, for example. So I think that COVID-19 has really given us this big pause that we all needed to really reflect about the state of the world and how do our organizations then respond to these challenges that we're facing.
Where does then sustainability sit in priority with all that evolution that's been going on?
That's a very good question. So I think when COVID first struck companies and countries all over the world, people working in ESG and sustainability were a little afraid that, you know, ESG and sustainability would take a back seat, because for the longest time, this was something seen as a nice to have, but not critical. But I think that that's actually borne out, you know, differently. And if you look at conversations on the global stage at the United Nations, as well as big platforms like the World Economic Forum, you can see that sustainable development and ESG issues have really come to the fore. And although companies are at the moment grappling with short-term challenges of COVID and looking at, you know, how do they keep their staff, how do they keep people employed, how do they look at the social part of the ESG, I think that a lot of leaders are also woken up to the fact that ESG issues are here to stay, and we are actually looking at the future. How do you build back a greener business model? How do you build back a greener society, a more sustainable society? And if you look at the EU countries, they are actually tying their stimulus and fiscal packages to sustainable development outcomes. So if they give you a bailout, for example, they tie that to a certain, I guess, requirement that when you are employing someone or when you're investing into new products and services and new areas of business, that you're investing into something that is positive for the planet and for society. They no longer want to be investing, giving you money, using taxpayer money to subsidize companies that are exploiting the earth. So I think this is a trend that we're seeing and it's very encouraging.
And I guess that's where this whole pause and, like what you said, right, a chance to rethink and to be able to evolve to include sustainability rather than to put it as an afterthought, right? So how do you think that business innovation should be thought through in this pandemic environment then?
business innovation is, you know, something that is very interesting, and we're hearing the buzzwords of digitalization and technology, industrial revolution 4.0 and all that. But I think that the true corporate leaders are really thinking about how sustainability and technology are merging. I mean, if you look at some of the trends you're seeing on the global energy landscape, for example, we would never have imagined that Shell or BP would be pledging net zero emissions 5 years ago. You're seeing that as a result of stakeholder pressure, as a result of consumer expectations and of investors, you know, institutional investors, sovereign wealth funds who don't want to be investing in companies that are jeopardizing the future of the planet and for society. And I think that this is very, very key. And so when you think about business innovation, there's this phrase that's been emerging, and that's called stakeholder capitalism. Whereas in the past, businesses were pursuing profit for shareholders at all costs, today we're seeing a different form of capitalism, one that's more purpose-driven, that is known as one that looks at all the perspectives of the stakeholders. Are you pursuing a business model that is solving problems and pursuing profits at the same time? And these two guiding philosophies must be the key themes of any business innovation. So when you look at investing into the future, are you investing into the future into a technology that will enable you to do more with less, for example? One of the key business models that's emerging very progressively out of the EU and seeing adopted more in Asia is the circular economy. You know, not taking virgin resources, but actually looking at your waste streams, looking at your manufacturing processes to see how can you take the end-of-life products and actually put that back into the manufacturing cycle or the ecosystem to enable a circular economy. And so I think that when you have these guiding principles into your business innovation, you will come up with products that will be successful and that will be embraced by the public. To give you an example, you know, Unilever is a company that's been often quoted. They had a sustainable living plan in which they doubled their revenue while halving their environment impact. And of course, their success has been mixed, some victories and some failures, but I think that's absolutely the right place to go. I was moderating a session for the UN last week, and I had the IKEA CEO on my panel, and he was sharing that IKEA had been on this journey to really kind of reinvent all the business models such that now, instead of making furniture that you buy and then at the end of life you dispose, they're taking back all that furniture that they are producing and then putting it back into their manufacturing cycle. And you know, they are like the world's biggest manufacturer of furniture. So I mean, when you see corporates putting in place such a large scale change in their business innovation and their business models, you really can see people moving the needle. So I think some corporates are really leading the way and some are really far behind. And the ones that are really thinking about these are the ones that will survive. The ones that are not thinking about this will be the ones that fall behind, and you'll see them being obsolete in the next decade or so.
I think there's a term for this, right? It's called green investment. Are you seeing an uptick of that a lot more these days, other than the discussion that we've been hearing around us a lot with leaders and corporates right now, is that sustainability, do you think that you end up being an afterthought since everyone's focus right now seems to be on existential issues and on survival?
I want to make this distinction. Green investments usually is referred as sustainable finance or sustainable investments, and that's different from a sustainable business models. Business models really is looking at your business and how are you making revenue, how are you making profit, and what are the guiding principles. Sustainable investments is actually a branch of finance that's emerging in the finance industry, and it's actually something that is really, really growing all over the world. In the EU, for example, you see the United Nations Environment Programme coming up with a sustainable finance initiative, and it's coming up with things like green loans, sustainability-linked loans, green bonds. And these are basically financial products that incentivize companies to tie their performance to sustainable development indicators. So for example, if I was a real estate company and I apply to, say, DBS for a sustainability-linked loan, they will offer me a discount on my loan if I meet certain indicators that prove that, you know, my asset is positive for society and environment. And this is something that is growing hugely, you know, all over the world. And in Asia, we see that happening as well. So the green bond issuance and sustainable finance is increasing. And I think for companies itself, I mean, I'm on the board of ComfortDelGro, and we have also explored green finance tools. In Australia, for example, we managed to get a loan from a bank to convert our diesel vehicles into cleaner energy models that are powered by electricity instead of fossil fuels. And that is actually given at a discount because you are actually, you know, saving carbon emissions. So I think these are tools and mechanisms that available to corporates right now. The ones that are very, I guess, enlightened and aware, they make full use of it. But I think that there is a challenge in getting like the swathe of not just listed companies, but also SMEs to realize that these tools are out there, to think very critically about how to use them and to like kind of shift their whole business model into one that is thinking about the future sustainability of our planet.
Maybe I can also latch on to what you just said. It seems that organizations are all doing a lot of work and effort put into the future right now, given the unprecedented environment that they're in. But how much effort or resources do you think those organizations should be spending on innovation versus protecting existing business model?
Yeah, you know, I think that this is a very good question because the inertia, you know, to change your existing business model is there. There are a lot of management and boards that are still, you know, with the traditional mindset that we need to protect what we have. But the problem with that kind of mindset is that you're not thinking long-term about your challenges. And I give you a very simple example. You know, right now, I mean, for a land transport company, ComfortDelGro has a very huge vehicle fleet. A lot of them, we started years ago to transition to cleaner vehicles, like hybrid vehicles and so on and so forth. But if you think about the future, it's going to be electric. So right now we have, for example, you know, stations where we buy fuel and then we sell fuel to power the taxis that we own. But in 10 years time, when all the vehicles are electric, they're not going to be taking fuel from you. They're not going to be buying fuel from you. So how are you thinking about the innovation? How are you thinking about investing into the future? And so these are very critical decisions that you need to make now. And you need to be bold enough to invest in the right space right now. Because if you wait till 10 years later and the change is upon you, and then you realize, oh wow, actually I should have changed like 10 years ago. I think that's a challenge that every company faces, but I recognize that there has to be a transition period. You cannot change overnight, and that's something that all corporates grapple with. But the thing is, you do need to have that mindset that you're driving that change in a systematic and organized manner, and you need to have a roadmap, and you need to look at where your company is going to be in 5 or 10 years time, 20 years time, 50 years time. Because if you don't think about that, then chances are that you'll be falling behind.
So what kind of advice would you then give to these leaders, for example, so that there's a nice balance to also include sustainability as part of their core consideration?
I think businesses really need to stop seeing ESG as an afterthought. They need to look at how ESG is really critical to their survival and performance. If you look at BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, it's actually come up very publicly in the last 2 years, Larry Fink, to say that sustainability will be at the heart of their investment decisions, meaning that they will actually vote out board members or management if your company is not performing to ESG standards. And I think it's just a very perfect example of how institutional investors all over the world have now been looking at a DSG performance of companies, not just financial performance. So what used to be considered non-financial performance indicators are now financial, because if you look at climate risk, you need to really think about where your company is in the future. So I think that there's a lot of confluence of factors coming into organizations, and they need to think seriously about how ESG is embedded in every single level of the organization.
Well, we've heard a lot of interesting examples that you've given us from Europe. Is there anything else in any other states that you've seen that actually has been championing this besides Europe?
I would say that Europe is really the front runner where legislation is concerned and where company management practices are. And I think that's driven by, you know, a lot of the challenges that the region had faced with development and being very reliant on fossil fuel and having a lot of crises in the last few decades. And there are a lot of lessons that we need to learn, but that's not to say that we only should be looking that way. I think there's a lot of innovation happening in Asia right now, and a lot of companies are leading the way with their targets, their business innovation. And a lot of that growth is here. Asia is the fastest growing region in the world. And I think the companies here are in this very interesting space where they have the explosion of technology, the explosion of population, rapid urbanization. So this is really kind of the region to be.
Do you include China in that Asia region that you just mentioned?
Yeah, absolutely. China is leading the way as well. I mean, you've seen that China just declared ambition to be climate neutral by 2060. That's ambitious, you know. And if you look at the US right now, there's real lack of political leadership, and they have not even made any such targets. And for China to be saying that, it is really a huge commitment. And you know that, I guess, when the Chinese government says they're going to do that, they will do that. And if you look at China right now, the entire city of Shenzhen is all powered by electric vehicles. I mean, there's no fossil vehicles on their roads anymore. People think of China as not as advanced, but actually I would challenge that notion, because in a lot of Chinese cities, they are actually using EVs, they're using AVs, autonomous vehicles to power their cities, and they're way ahead in the technology game and sustainability. Of course, there are some areas that still need to be improved. They are still by far a huge emitter and still using a lot of coal-fired power stations. But you've seen that the Chinese government has put in place a roadmap to get there. Again, it's not going to be overnight, but they are thinking long-term, and they're thinking about how they don't want to be also held ransom to certain energy geopolitical concerns. And so actually something that is right to do for society, for the planet, and also actually in the interest of the country.
Maybe if I can then focus now from all the region back to Singapore, what do you think that the Singapore government should play when it comes to supporting business innovation and maybe even sustainability?
I think the Singapore government has done quite a good job where business innovation sustainability is concerned. It has given a huge job support to companies here in the time of COVID. And I think that there can be more done. And I think the Emerging Stronger Task Force was set up to really look at how the Singapore emerged stronger from this crisis. But it has already put in place things like a carbon tax, the first in Southeast Asia to do so. And I know that it's trying to grow Singapore into a carbon services trading hub, into a sustainability hub, into a sustainable finance hub. You know, Singapore itself, we've strengthened our climate change pledge to the Paris Agreement. And we have also said that we want to be climate neutral as soon as it's viable in the second half of the century. I think that they are looking at very core technologies like carbon capture and storage, energy efficiency, and new technologies that are going to enable us to do less with more, and also for us to tap on renewable energy so that we can move our entire economy to a cleaner system. And look at Finance Minister Heng Swee Keat's announcement at the last budget, which surprised everyone, and that LTA made that commitment that by 2040, we'll phase out all ICE vehicles. This is a massive policy commitment, and they're going to have 28,000 charging stations. I mean, this is a very clear policy signal that we are decarbonizing our economy. And so companies need to be thinking, in a decarbonized economy, where does my business play a role? You know, what kind of products and services am I offering to be able to thrive in this new economy?
So maybe I can then focus on your company then. How is EcoBusiness developing new ways to innovate? And maybe you can give us some examples.
I mean, we are a media platform, and you know, journalism is at the core of what we do, and we dedicate all our coverage to sustainable development. But we are also facing the challenges of the media industry, like shrinking advertising budgets and things like that. And so we've had to innovate by using technology to kind of automate some of our processes, enable our own partner organizations to, I guess, create an account, for example, and automate some of the publicity that they want to do. But some of the things that I think technology will never replicate is the human connection, the thought leadership that you can provide, and also the research and consulting sort of services. And I think this is why humans are always still going to be valuable. So we've had to think about how we can scale the work that we do all across the region and even the world using technology to help us, using the platforms that we have. So yeah, this is an interesting journey that I'm still on. So I have no answer for you, Ryan.
Have you got any experiences with the innovation so far? I mean, just advice for all of us.
You know, I really think that innovation is something that all of us are thinking about. And it comes back to the being bold and to challenge your own traditional mindsets about your conceived notions of what is a traditional business model and how do you define growth. And I think that sustainability and technology is going to dominate our future. And for every single organization that's thinking about the future, we need to think, is my product and service solving a problem and making a profit at the same time? If you think about these questions, I think it will guide you to a successful future. And I think that that really is just my key takeaway, because you need knowledge and you need truth. You need to know about what's happening in the world, the global forces shaping the future. And then if you really have a good understanding of it, then you can respond in the adequate manner.
Maybe I can broaden our discussion a little bit more. I mean, besides business innovation and sustainability, what else should businesses then consider to future-proof themselves in this relatively unknown landscape?
There are a lot of processes that you can look at, but you have the risk management process, right? And then you have to go through every single stage of your business and look at what are the risks involved. That's something that will help you future-proof your process. But I would say that every business should be looking at their financial health and performance, as well as their environment, social, and governance factors. And if you have your house in order and you have looked after all these key aspects of your operations, then you have a very good chance of being successful in the future. So I go back to the basics, really.
What about on a personal level, right? Where are you investing the most to lead, navigate, and maybe to prepare our respective organizations for this unknown future? Away from just business, let's talk about human capital.
Okay, so you're talking about personal investment as in into skills and things like that?
Yeah, to the team and the organizations that we lead.
Yeah, I think this is really important. You know, I think COVID has been a real test, an unprecedented test of our resilience. Everybody has been, you know, more isolated and had faced the disruption to their daily life. And I think you really need to invest in the well-being of your people. I make it a point, for example, I mean, now we're all remotely working and work from home, but I make it a point for my team to meet physically actually once in 2 weeks, to have the physical interaction and also to really invest in personal development and learning. For example, I've been encouraging my team and for myself as well to look at courses that we can do. I'm actually just about to go on a Cambridge course on business analytics to look at, you know, how do you use big data to drive business insights. But then for me, I have another layer to it. It's like, how do you drive sustainable development outcomes? How do you use technology as tools to drive good and positive outcomes for society? And so I think that quest for knowledge always has to be there, and also to invest in your personal well-being, because you don't have anything to give if you're not well yourself. And I always tell my team, you do need to always have that work-life balance, you know, to have time and space to pursue things that you're passionate about, that makes you happy. The silver lining, right, of COVID is that everybody has like paused and be like, oh, actually, you know, life is not all about working. Life is not all about pursuing just profit. How are we defining our happiness? How are we defining the well-being of ourselves, our family, our colleagues? And I think a lot of companies have realized that as well, you know, the S part of the ESG, the social part. How do you look after your employees to ensure that they're looked after, they're taken care of, and that their needs are being met? And so I guess the silver lining is that we've really had the time to think about this. And I hope that when COVID-19 is over, and God knows when that will be, that we can think about this and not go back to business as usual, that we'll all emerge with a form of capitalism I mentioned earlier that is more purpose driven, and that will be my hope.
Thank you, Jessica, for being on our panel for the 6th QED Changemaker series. Really appreciate you sharing your leadership perspective on the topic of business innovation. Looking forward to chatting with you again soon. Most of all, thank you, listeners, for tuning in to our QED Changemaker series podcast. For more information on QED's leadership development solutions, email us at info@qed.sg. That's info@qed.sg. Do remember to subscribe to our channel and be updated on our latest episodes. I'm your host, Ryan Lim, and I look forward to having you in our next episode.